What you are about to hear is a labor of love. Our love is for the music, and the music is for the people. We at Rockstrex 10 and CNJRadio.com have always recommended that any music we promote on our shows be legally purchased, downloaded, and/or streamed. We feel this way not only for our network of shows, but for all music-based shows. By supporting the artist in this way, more music can be created and the industry as a whole can prosper. The music is owned by their respective labels, or hopefully by the artists themselves. This broadcast is owned by CNJRadio.com. Our only mission is to promote the music we love and promote the legal purchase of it. Enjoy the show and turn it up.
Welcome to Rockstrex!
Welcome to Rock Strikes 10, the show guaranteed to always give you 10 songs, no more, no less. My name is Joey. I want to thank everybody for tuning into the show here today, especially if you're doing it at the central station of CNJRadio.com. Okay, welcome to part three of the odds and ends of 1974, part of our overall big, super spectacular retrospective dealing with the year 1974. And we kicked off things in fine order right there with Paul McCartney and Wings and their single-only release from 1974, The Great Junior's Farm. Nice, fun, upbeat song right there. Kind of in the tradition of Jet. Just a nice, fun, upbeat McCartney tune. Dig it. Simple. Hit in 74, single-only release. Belongs on the odds and ends. All right. Off to a great start here. Let's get into this next one right here. As you can tell by the previous two editions, and if you didn't hear those, shame on you, go back two episodes. I can also explain to you what the odds and ends are if you don't know what that is on said episode. Go back to part one. And for the rest of you, of course, if you heard the last two episodes, you know that there were a good handful of live albums out in 1974. 70s has to be the ruling decade of the live album. It seems like every notable artist of the 70s has a live album. I'm sure there's an exception to that rule, but as far as I could tell, that is the case. And with these two bands as well, two super awesome guitar-driven acts from different sides of the pond, we're going to kick off this next twofer with a great Mott the Hoople. Here you go.
Hi there, your friendly neighborhood sidewalk. A voice, give me my mama. My baby called me when she went down.
Thank you.
the city for the foreign. Further on, painted wagon of the morning, dusty road where they have gone. Sometimes traveling through the darkness, met the summer coming home. Falling faces by the wayside looked as if they might have known. Oh, the sun. Lost it along the way for each other.
What is basically turning into a tradition here on Rock Strikes 10. Anytime I get a chance to play that song right there, I'm going to take it. One of my favorite songs of all time, theme from an imaginary Western there by Mountain. That comes off of their live album from 1974 as well. The first track, Mott the Hoople Sucker, right there, was from their live album, simply titled Live, which served as their farewell. The band was breaking up at that point. That was it for them, and that was their goodbye album right there, their live album. And then Mountain put out their album here in 74 as well called Twin Peaks, which interestingly and randomly enough recorded in Osaka, Japan at the Kosainingen Hall there in Osaka. So yeah, interesting. We're a long, long way from Woodstock there. But yeah, theme from an imaginary Western, Mountain, the whole album's great. Much like the Mott the Hoople thing. Those are master classes of how to be a live rock and roll band. So go listen to those. And two bands which share a thing in common, sadly enough. I think most average music fans only know one song apiece from that band. And that's a sad, sad reality. But they should know more about those bands. They're great. Okay, moving on here. I don't think this was a big hit over here in the States, but I think it was a number one, if I'm not mistaken, in the UK, which is so wild. So this is one of those songs where I will confess, I think I had about something between 37, 38, something like that, songs I had here for the odds and ends. So not quite enough for a four-parter with 40. So basically what I wanted to do, I've done this a few times here on some of the odds and ends, is basically cheat, but also pad the shows to get to four parts or what have you. And so by basically just going with a single that I think is really cool from that year, even though it was on an album, basically doing this to kind of apologize to the band, to the album, because the fact that they're not going to be on the album's countdown. So yeah, not that this band put out a bad record in 74, it's just not great. It's not next level. So they won't be on the album's countdown, but I couldn't let 1974 go without putting this one on here. This is one of the all-time glam rock singles. It's an essential right here. Super duper catchy, super, super earworm effect right here. So gonna play it for you. You're welcome. This will be stuck in your head for about a week, week and a half or something like that, minimum. So from 1974, here's a single by the band Mud. And this song is called Tiger Feet. Turn it up. Yeah. right, there you go. Fun track right there. And in case you were like, man, that sounds like a song by The Sweet, then you're not too far off, because the song was written by the longtime, all-time Hall of Fame songwriting team of Nicky Chinn and Mike Chapman right there. They wrote a lot of hits for The Sweet and for a lot of other bands as well, and individually. But yes, I've got a theory. I've never heard this confirmed, but I'm assuming that the reason why this band Mudd came out of nowhere and then all of a sudden, yeah, and this was a number one, by the way. They had a number one here with Tiger Feet. I'm assuming it's because it's around the time that Sweet was breaking out on their own, as far as like not so much relying on Chinn and Chapman and being more of a legitimate band, quote unquote. So that's my theory. And I'm assuming like they were able to like come in and find this new band and plug this song in, immediately became a number one. They had two more number one songs just based off the heat of Tiger Feet. No rhyme intended right there, but also their cover of Oh Boy, the Buddy Holly song, and also this Christmas song they did, which was a Christmas number one, Lonely This Christmas. So yeah, they had three friggin' number ones within the span of a year. So Mudd just coming right out of the gate hot, Tiger Feet and those other two number ones. So there you have it, in case you never heard that song. And in case you never heard that song, that means you're probably from the U.S., so I get it. Okay, so the next thing we're going to talk about, here's a song from a movie soundtrack. And the movie basically almost serves as a full album by this artist, who also is the star of the film. You ever seen this one? The Son of Dracula. Yeah, me neither, but I've been meaning to see it for a while, actually, because I'm a fan of the star of the film and the composer of pretty much all the music here in the film, and that would be the late, great Harry Nilsson. So I, once again, never seen this movie. It was one of those films that Apple put out. Yeah, the Beatles. And Ringo and Harry Nilsson were like really, really, really close friends. Probably drinking buddies, if I had to guess. But this is basically serves as a sequel, an unofficial sequel to Dracula, where, according to the plot I'm reading about here online, is that Dracula is assassinated and his son is going to, quote, take the throne or whatever, but he doesn't really want to be a vampire and he's trying to basically transition into a human being. So that's the plot of the Son of Dracula. So I do need to see this for sure. But until then, I do actually own the soundtrack on vinyl and I like the soundtrack a lot, and you actually get a lot of the plot points with inserted dialogue from the movie throughout. I know this wasn't the first movie to do it, but I feel like it's an early thing to put dialogue on a soundtrack, because that really didn't seem to be much of a thing for the longest time. So this has to be one of the first to do it. And this would resemble another collaboration that Ringo and Harry would do with the animated movie, The Point. Same kind of format, the soundtrack, the same kind of format. You get the narration and the songs to go with it. So yeah, they made a pretty cool team as far as guys that could put a movie together and put a record together. You got the best of both worlds in a multimedia company like Apple putting forth the money to do it. Makes sense. So I hope the movie's good. I assuming it's going to work on some core basis. Maybe it's not a great film. I don't know. I feel like if it was truly great, then people would have talked about it, but who knows? That's not entirely a rule. We'll see. I'll get back to you on it. But till then, enjoy this one right here. This was kind of one of the sole original songs in the film. I think it might have been written specifically for the movie. A lot of the other songs are basically just songs that Harry had put out the last few years. He got songs from Nilsson Schmilsson and some of his other earlier singles. So, but yeah, this one kind of serves as the real theme to the movie Son of Dracula. So here is Harry Nilsson, possibly even with Ringo on drums. He's got a drum credit, but a lot of other people do on this record. But here you go. Here is Harry with Daybreak.
Sunlight making me sad. Had a good time.
There's a fun twofer for you right there, featuring two iconic legends that have passed on since. Started with Harry Nilsson and the song Daybreak from the Son of Dracula movie soundtrack and film itself. And then we finished things off with the King. Elvis, he had a live album, because of course he did. He had out a live album in 1974 called Elvis Recorded Live on Stage in Memphis. And extra notable here for me as a rock and wrestling guy, this was recorded at the Mid-South Coliseum in Memphis, Tennessee, where another King would sell a lot of tickets down the road and become the guy that really drew the house multiple times in there. That'd be Jerry the King Lawler. So yes, the Mid-South Coliseum, that's the place where Jerry Lawler gave a pile driver to Andy Kaufman. One of the greatest wrestling angles of all time took place in that same building that Elvis album was recorded in. I'm sure Elvis played there multiple times, of course, before he left the building permanently. But yes, man, you can't go wrong with a medley of rock and roll burners right there. So let's go through it. That medley consisted of mostly covers, songs that Elvis is known for somewhat predominantly, but the first half of that is all covers. He had Long Tall Sally, which is a Little Richard, Whole Lot of Shaking Going On, which is a Jerry Lee Lewis, and then Your Mama Don't Dance. How random is that? Loggins and Messina right there. That song was only a couple of years old at that point, but that song makes sense. You hear Elvis do, it's like, man, I want a studio version of that, don't you? Because I sure do, but it sounds great on stage. Then he does Big Joe's Flip Flop and Fly. Big Joe Turner, the guy who did Shake, Rattle, and Roll. At least I know that to be a Big Joe Turner song. I could be wrong, but Flip Flop and Fly. Then he brings it all home with a couple of his Jailhouse Rock and Hound Dog. Good, fun, live medley right there by the King. Hope you enjoyed that. That'll perk you up a little bit, won't it? That's as good as any shot of extra caffeine or what have you. All right. So let's get into this next twofer right here. A band that you'll definitely be hearing about on the Albums Countdown. There's a little teaser and build up for the Albums Countdown. Is this band right here, Queen. And Queen is only a few years in at this point professionally, but they're already off to the races, putting out so much material that they do have some leftover material from their records. So I'm going to play you this B-side right here. I hope you enjoy it. I'm going to kick off this twofer with this Queen song right here. It's called See What a Fool I've Been. Enjoy.
Well, she's gone, dear. Gone this morning. Cute, cool. Coming on strong.
right. Fun little loosey-goosey twofer right there. We kick things off with a very uncharacteristic song by Queen. We know Queen to be like the guys, real professional, and their arrangements are very tight and everything. But to hear them kind of go loose in the studio right there, and the fact that they put that out, I got to hand it to them. I think that's a fun track. It's really neat. Obviously, I can see why it's not on the record. That song was cut during the Queen 2 sessions and wound up being a B-side for Seven Seas of Rye. So there you go, a little fun fact there. And that does appear like on the deluxe edition of the Queen 2 like bonus disc re-release from probably about a decade ago. And that's the first time I ever heard it. It was about 10 years ago, so I thought it was pretty cool. Actually, no, I had that on a bootleg. I had this Queen bootleg CD back in the 90s that some customer from the store, I think, gave me, or I bought it from the store, something to that effect, but it had some cool stuff. It's like all the stuff that got cut off of Queen records and some soundtrack songs and stuff like that. It was really cool. But yeah, little crazy demo right there called See What a Fool I've Been. Hope you enjoyed that. And then we finished off the twofer with some personal faves of mine. And that would be Sha Na Na, who really came into prominence of pop culture by being in two very equally important but very, very different films. And that would be Woodstock and Grease. So yeah, that's how cool Sha Na Na is. And I know people bag on him and stuff. They don't consider him to be important, but I think they're important. Me personally, yeah. First time I heard a lot of those songs were by Sha Na Na. So much respect to them. And by 1974, they weren't really putting out records that people were really buying at that point. This record, by the way, the record's called Hot Socks. And of course, the other reason why Sha Na Na gets put on the Odds and Ends is because their albums are predominantly covers, because that's the whole bit on them. They cover oldies. So that song originally, Don't You Just Know It, you're probably like, hey, that sounds familiar. Well, you maybe have heard the original version, actually. I think it's the original version, but the popular version of that was by Huey Piano Smith from back in the late 50s. Huey Piano Smith, the clown prince of piano, he was great. An absolute legend, man. One of the kings of Louisiana music right there. Wrote some of the best rock and roll, especially early rock and roll of all time. He did the original version of Rockin' Pneumonia, the Boogie Woogie Flu, if that name sounds familiar to you. And of course, you know that song. But yeah, you probably heard Don't You Just Know It, probably in movies and ads and stuff like that. It's a pretty popular song that still gets used today. And that was Sha Na Na's version of it off of that record Hot Socks. And I actually went and had a moment with this record during this year, because as a Sha Na Na guy, I do constantly see them in the record racks because they're not very popular. And I, by the way, I always buy that pink double album, Best of It Theirs. I always buy it and I give it away to people. But I was like, I can easily find this record, right, in store. So I go looking for it because you can't stream it and it's not even on YouTube. Like, that's bad. Like, that's real bad. So I'm like, well, I could find a physical. And of course, I'm down for buying a Sha Na Na record. How much could it cost? $5-6, like max. So I hit all my regular stores that I go to now currently. And like, nobody has it. And I'm just like, man, is it just because I'm looking for it specifically right now? Is this the curse? Because I see all their other stuff here. So I'm realizing that like, yeah, this record's probably not really out and about too much. And I've kind of refused to go on Discogs to buy it. I'm like, I'm going to find this in the wild. I'm going to find it physically. Like, it became a freaking journey. And I was even asking, like, the ones that I'm friendly with, I was just asking actively about this. Like, have you seen this record? Like, I see a lot of Sha Na Na records, but that one just does not look familiar. And I'm like, God damn it. And so thank the music gods. Finally, like, I had asked this really nice lady, Heather, over at my most local record store, actually in the Mid-Cities directly. I usually have to go to Dallas or Fort Worth or Arlington for record stores, but our lone really great record store here in the Mid-Cities, Rag & Bone Records. I asked Heather, super nice lady. I consider her a friend now at this point. And she was like, I've seen that record. So I'm like, I know she's got the two stores. She's got her main store and she's got the other store. You know, the ones you see, the consignment places, whatever. I kind of forget the term. But anyway, yeah. I was like, oh, cool. Is it over there? It's like, no, I think it's like at my house or something. So, you know, about a week or so goes by and then I show up and she's got it. Like, so yeah, I got, and she just gave it to me. Like, how freaking cool is that? Like, she refused to take my money, but I try to buy things all the time when I go there. Sometimes I'm not successful because sometimes I go into stores and it's just like, man, I don't It's not that I don't need anything today. I'm sure I need something, but I've been buying this shit for so long. I got a lot of stuff. So anyway, long story long, I got this record finally physically, played it, sounded great, played great. And I was like, cool. It's a Huey Piano Smith cover on here. Sold. That's all I need. Like, that's going on the show. So I had to go through a lot just to get that song played on Rock Strikes 10. So I hope you appreciate my struggle. Yeah, what a struggle. First fucking world problems, isn't it? But all right, yes, let's get back into the rock and roll. And oh boy, almost nothing more rock and roll than this band right here. One of the greats ever, ever, ever. And that would be Slade, simply enough, in 1974 with all their other projects going on, including a movie, by the way. More on that later. But yeah, it was also just time for another standalone single. So yeah, let's play that lone standalone single from Slade from 1974. This one's called Bangin' Man.
1, 2, 3.
Time after time, he'll get down, down, down to
play guitar makes me feel so, makes me feel so masochistic. The way you go down low deep into the neck, and I would do anything, and I would do anything. And Patty Hearst, you standing there in front of the Symbionese Liberation Army flag with your legs spread, I was wondering, were you getting it every night from a black revolutionary man and his women, or were you really dead? And now that you are on the run, what goes on in your mind? Your sister, they sit by the window. You know your mama does a sit and cry. And your daddy, well, you know what your daddy said, Patty. You know what your daddy said, Patty? He said, oh, 60 days ago, she was such a lovely child. Now here she is with a gun in her hand.
Closing off the show here today, you can almost call that like basically like an end credit run right there, because it's so crazy. It's a weird track, and I get it, like, if some people didn't like it or whatever, but you got to play that for historical significance. In 1974, Patti Smith actually put out her first ever single and recorded for the first time ever, and she decided to do a of the times rewrite, basically, of a standard at this point. I think it's almost like a public domain at this point. Like, it's an old song, Hey Joe. It's not a Hendrix original, although, of course, Hendrix does the definitive version, and I'll argue Body Count as well. But, yeah, that taking Hey Joe and making it about a very timely current event, the Patty Hearst thing, and that's way too long of a story to get into on this show, but go look that up. Weird History always does great timelines. By the way, I watch those to get pumped up to do these shows. So check it out, the 1974 timeline on Weird History. And before I put any of these year things out, that's a good YouTube clip to go reference. But anyway, that all being said, yes, random wacky twofer right there, as the Odds and Ends like to do sometimes, kicking off with Slade and Bangin' Man, and then Patti Smith's crazy slam poetry / musical interpretation of Hey Joe right there. So yes, recorded Electric Lady. And to get that energy, I'm assuming, the Hendrix energy, that song was actually recorded at Electric Lady Studios in New York City. There you go, if you didn't know that. Of course, that's a local stop for Patti, her being a longtime scenester of New York City, and of course later on of CBGB's. But at that point, Patti Smith in with the BOC crowd as well. So she makes appearances on some of those records, and you probably know that if you're a fan. Hello, Todd Cunningham. How you doing? Okay. So that's going to do it for the show today. Join me on part 4 of 4 for the Odds and Ends of 1974. We got one more to go before we get to that big old albums countdown. So until then, stay tuned for my better half, Nola, with the plugs, and followed by the best damn outro song in all the podcasting business. Take it away, Nola.
We would like to thank you for taking the time to listen to the show today. You can reach us on Facebook or Twitter. We love getting messages and always do our best to respond. Every time you share our show, we give our cats Ruby and Ripley a treat. We are on Twitter at RockStrikes10, and the direct email is RockStrikes10@gmail.com. When you search for us, the number 10 is always spelled out. If you would like to support our show financially, we do have RockStrikes 10 shirts for sale. For $20, we will ship you out a high-quality, soft-as-heck, next-level branded shirt and a button. Send us an email or direct message for more details or to order. Please help us spread the word about this show and all of our other quality shows by listening, liking, subscribing, and sharing. Our official website is cnjradio.com. You can visit this site for all episodes of Rock Strikes 10 going all the way back to episode number 1. While you're on cnjradio.com, check out some of these other quality shows. The Wrestling House Show, a pro wrestling podcast unlike any other. The Synaptic Empire Audio Transmissions, hosted by Randy Brown, a true alternative. The Last Theater, starring Chris, where cinema's trash is treated like treasure. And the I Am Vinyl podcast with Pete LaRussa and occasionally Joey. We also highly recommend that you check out our good friend Mark Striegel, who can now be heard exclusively on SiriusXM as part of Ozzy's Boneyard and Hair Nation. Last, but certainly not least, we would like to give an extra special thanks to the great Pete LaRussa and the band Spacebeard for the best outro song in the business. Go to facebook.com/spacebeardband to purchase their music and make sure to tell them that Rock Strikes 10 sent ya. We hope you tune into the next show. Until then, have fun.
Post Game Show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. The hell with it.